All right, again, we're teaching on kingdom families. This is part 6. I'll start reading here at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, about the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful Abraham. All right. So we're teaching on kingdom families. We got into this because we're teaching on living in the supernatural, which is very, very, very key for you to be successful in the kingdom of God. You're going to have to learn to live by faith. Learn to live by faith, not just use faith when you're in trouble, but learn to live by faith. Because one of the key things that God has sent us here to do is to expand his kingdom, to expand his kingdom. All right, now let's deal with where we are. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5 and let's read that. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, we said that this pretty much are our marching orders, if you will, or the ways that you and I are supposed to operate as the church. But what he does, he makes a comparison here that the church is to be compared to, a marriage is to be compared with Christ and the church. So here, I'll start reading in verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. All right. Now, let's see what we're talking about here. We have come some distance. We said basically that if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? In Psalm chapter 11, verse 3. And we said that marriage is not something man thought of. God thought of marriage. And God designed it. And that God puts man and woman together. And one of the first reasons he puts them together is for his benefit. Amen. And there's something he wants to do. And there are three levels of things that we talked about, that man, first of all, comes together to glorify God. And then secondly, man comes together, secondly, for unity. And then comes together also for reproduction. And so we're saying here that marriage is a miracle. Because what we're finding out is that this idea of taking two people and making them one is the same as changing water to wine. And it's the miracle that takes place in this marriage. And the Bible calls this whole thing, verse 32, a great mystery. A mystery is something that is beyond natural comprehension. So we're saying that man was the one that God first, that was the one that God created. but he created and made both of them. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, please. And in Genesis chapter 1, we see that it says in verse 27, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So notice he created both men and women. Created comes from the Hebrew word bara, B-A-R-A, and has to do with formed out of nothing. So he formed them out of nothing. But it says that God made here down in chapter 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So this made or formed, meaning formed out of something that was already there. So he formed man's body out of the dust of the ground and created man. He formed woman's body or made woman's body out of a rib from the man, something that was already there. And he created her and formed her out of something that was already there. All right. So now we're seeing these two that God brought together, because if you go up here and see verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So now they're operating in a higher dimension here, where he's putting this male and this female together. And he is the one that brought them together. So as we look at this, now I want to deal with the man, but let's look at this bringing them together and see how this works. Let's look at the church, and let's look at how you came to Christ. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is Paul describing the body of Christ and members in particular. Verse 12, for as a body is one and that has many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, this is describing members of a body. The body here is Christ, but he is using as an analogy the body of a person. Now, if I look at my index finger, that is a member of my hand. If I look at my hand, it's a member of my body. Now, if my index finger is missing, then that could hamper the use or things which I would like to do. If I want to pull the trigger, I got to pull it with my middle finger. Y'all follow what I'm saying here? So my hand, if that's missing, then some things are missing there, and so I'd have to find improvise a way so that I could be able to do some things that I want to do. So he's saying here that the members are many. So when you come in here, true enough, your name might be on a roll because you came in here, became members here and fellowship and went through new members class and so forth. But the member is not somebody on a roll, on a roster. That's not what Paul was talking about. He's talking about a member being an individual that has been placed in the body. So as an individual, God sent you here and placed you in this body. Why? Because you have what is needed for the body to function the way it's supposed to. Now, this local church is a smaller representation of the universal church. So in the universal church, he's got this huge body. In the local church, he's got a body. It looks just like that, except it's on a micro level. Now, if you look at the scripture and going down, verse 18, but now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased who? Him. him. So notice, it wasn't your choice. Well, just go to the church of your choice. Well, wait a minute now. You go to the church of his choice. Because he knows who needs to sit up under the instructions given by Bill Winston. He knows that. He knows who needs to be in church across the street. He knows that. And so he is the one that guides you into the place. I don't care what your background is. I don't care how much money you make or not make or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. Whether it came out of incarceration, it doesn't make any difference. He knows exactly where he wants to guide you. Why? Because he's gifted you with something that is needed in that body to make things work right. Being in the right church is more important than having a job. You're going to find that out. So now it's here. And one of the things is that he has to get us with the right, can I use the word, hookup. So we have to be hooked up right. Well, the same thing about somebody looking for a mate. You got to make sure you're hooked up right. Because you've got a thief out there, John 10:10, and he comes to steal, come on, to kill and destroy and try to get you hooked up so you'll be miserable the rest of your life. Why? Because he knows if what God puts together, that you can move forward with a unity that is many times more powerful than one person moving forward, and that you'll have the help that you need, you'll have the guidance that you need, so that you can do what God plans to do in your life. Say amen to that. All right, so in that, God, the Spirit of God is involved in creating this environment. Now let's go to another place. Let's go to Genesis chapter 24. Now I'm giving you these pictures so that you can get them in your mind that you're no longer out there searching for Mr. Goodbar. You're out there understanding that God has a hand in this. Okay? All right? Now look what it says here. It says in verse 1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had what? Blessed Abraham in how many things? In everything. All right? Now, here's Abraham. Now, look what it says here that he starts in verse 4. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now, Abraham's talking to his servant Eleazar. He's saying, now I want you to go and take a son for Isaac. All right, verse 7. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before you, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Now notice what he's going to do. He's going to send an angel before him. He's going to send an angel before him. So it tells me that if Eleazar is led by that angel, he's going to end up with the right woman. Now, isn't this interesting? Because I started thinking about this. You don't need to go find him yourself. Now, <I'm laughs> okay, all right, okay. Let me clean that up real clean. I'm not saying that your parents go out and find a man for you or find a woman for you. I'm saying if somebody's led by the Spirit, which you should be, when you come up on the right person, you will know it. If they're led by the same Spirit, when they come up on the right person for you, they will know it. Okay, y'all not too excited about that. Okay? Now understand, God still leaves you with a choice. You can reject what he sends you, whatever have you. He still leaves you with a free choice. Don't think he doesn't. Now these are two places that I'm showing you here that your having the right person is not just luck. It's something that is Spirit-led because God is going to hook you up spiritually. And he knows not only the person you need for now, he knows the person you need for 20 years from now or 40 years from now. Say amen to that. And he knows exactly who that person is. Now, if you go back, let's out of mile the two or three, Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3, please. In Genesis chapter 3, it's where Eve ate of the fruit and then gave it to Adam and he ate of it. It was forbidden fruit. And God said, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And what happened? They ate of it. And then what happened? Verse 10. And he said, I heard the voice of the... verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, he's not talking about his location. He knows where he is. He's talking about his position or his headship. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. And he said, I heard thy voice of thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, well, who told you you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree which I commanded thee that thou shouldn't eat it, should not eat? And the man said, the woman. But no. I know he shouldn't have done that because he was the one that was responsible for that house, so he couldn't put it on her. But here's the deal. I want you to catch this because you might overlook this. Whom you gave me. See, that's what I want you to see. God gives you. Come on. Oh, y'all. Okay. All right. Okay. See, you're so focused on the other part, you miss the revelation of the other part. All right. Now, so God hooks them up together. So as he does that, now Adam was the first. And because he was the first, he was the one responsible. And then God, and then God now has given Adam assignments. He has given him work to do. He has given him the plan for the earth and so forth. So now Adam's got to do some teaching. So one of the things that giftings that God has placed in the leader is a teacher. Let's go over here and look at Genesis chapter 18, please. Genesis chapter 18. And let me know when you get to Genesis chapter 18. All right. He told the woman, do not eat of the tree. He was teaching her. All right. Now look what it says in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed where? In him. For I know him, that he would what? Command his children and his what? Household after him, and they shall do what? Keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Now, what is he saying here? That this man is a teacher. Not because he's smarter, but because he's first. That's very important. Because he's first. He's the leader. So he has to know to teach the rest of them. So God has made it so that this man would be in his presence learning from him and being able to teach him. You say, can a woman teach? Of course she can. But I'm saying who God holds responsible for this household. Now, with my two daughters, when I got born again, I had my two daughters before I got born again. All right. So I didn't know all of this. Now, after I'm born again, now I'm teaching them. They come, of course, they get saved. But my son David was born after I got born again. Now I'm teaching him. Now, my wife and I, we don't do it much anymore, but we used to have Bible study every week because we just go through things. I said, baby, come on now. I want to show you this because I don't want to leave you. And come on, I got to show you this. All right. Are you following what I'm saying? Why? Because I'm the leader. I'm the head. Not that I'm more important, but I've got a position. And because I've got a position, all leadership is spiritual. Don't ever forget that. Because it got to be guided by God. And so what happened is he put something in my heart. Then I began to teach her or show her what God showed me. Now she showed me some stuff. And I said, yeah. Why? Because she's my help. Yeah, praise God. That backs up what I'm saying. Now, David, I teach him. So this, I taught him since he was going to school. Before he went to school, I would teach him. Of course, you know, we teach him around, but teach him. Now, I'm just talking about him now. Because he was born after I got saved and I found this out. So I got to be responsible for teaching my house. So now he'll come in and I would teach him 15 minutes before he goes to school, Monday through Friday, when I was in town. I wasn't on the road preaching or whatever have you. And sometimes he'd resist it. He'd come in like he's sick. Dad, I said, sit your narrow self down here and you go hear what I got to say. This will heal you. This, what I'm about to say, it's going to heal you. Don't even be concerned about it. Now, I'm just letting you know, Abraham will teach his family. He would make sure, because the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, the word of God. And when he is old, he will not depart from. Didn't it say that? So the father with leadership has a responsibility for making sure that the house is taught the word of God. Okay? Now, again, this is not something that you've been elected to. The man was not elected to leadership. Well, let's vote. Let's all vote and see who the head is. He doesn't. There is no vote. God tells you who the head is. Not only that, holds him responsible for it. Now, God knows who a male is. You can't slip on no pants and fool him. That's all I'm gonna say about that. Because see, people are trying to pervert the family because they're trying to take away the foundation. Satan is a perverter. And we are not gonna allow the families of the people of God to be perverted. Say amen to that. So when Adam sinned, now listen, I know because men have not been in church and so forth, the woman been carrying everything. But God wants these men to come back to the place where he is holding them responsible. I'm telling you. So when Adam and Eve sinned, God went straight to who? Adam. Okay? Went straight to Adam because he was the one that was in leadership. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, a lot of men think they don't need God. Well, that's because they've been hearing some other voice. And if you're going to lead somebody, you need God in the kingdom of God. And that he leads his family or whatever. When it was time to come to leave, when I left the corporate world, I meditated those verses because I knew God was calling me out there. Not because the company wasn't good to me, but it was time for me to go preach. It's time for me to fulfill the assignment. And so I just began to meditate these words and so forth. Next thing, this thing exploded inside of me, and I pulled over the side of the road at St. Paul, Minnesota. I called my wife. I said, "Baby, I'm leaving this company." She said, "Well, praise the Lord." Now, God had prepared her heart to go with me. Then after I left, God said, "I want you to sell your house and go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to graduate school, to seminary." And I'm kind of wrestling with that for about 2 weeks. And my wife came out of the shower one morning. And she was still in her house coat. She said, "Baby, I was coming out of the shower and God spoke to me and said, sell your house." Now, see, that's my help. Got it? We put the house on the market and it sold in one day. Now understand, now we're going down to Tulsa. Now understand, my wife is trusting me. Went down to Tulsa, whatever we did, so forth and so on, then came back. Every time she's following her man. Cause what did Ruth say? She said, where you go, I will go. And your God, come on, shall be my God. Now understand, this is called submission. And submission has to be earned. Now, understand, the man is not doing everything right, so we're not trying to criticize him. But we understand that we only have one leader for the overall mission of God for this family, meaning that she can have some of it, but overall, when it's time for us to move from here, go to there and so forth, this man's got to approve. This man's got to say, okay, this is what we do. Now, y'all, don't put your rocks down. I'm going to just tell you what the Bible says. Now, next, notice what happened. Now it's time for us to move back from Minnesota because we went to Hopkins, Minnesota and finished raising up the church there after we came back from Tulsa. But God said, take your wife and family and go to Chicago. Now, understand. Will y'all let me preach this, please? Now, understand, that's what we had to do. So we now got to go to Chicago. Now, understand, you heard the story, $200. And a sister took us in her home and said, God said, keep you until you all get started here in Chicago. Now, my wife was right with me. I said, she was right with me. She was with me and just never really offered resistance, not because she was so docile or lifeless that she had no fight in her, but I had deposited in the trust bank. Now you got to hear what I'm saying now. God will start bit by bit with a man being trusted by his family so that when the big things come, they'll say, okay, you're the leader, we'll go, and so forth. Now, boy, yeah, I'm just going to teach it like it's in the Bible. So, I had built up that trust in her, so when I said something, she flowed with me and prayed for me rather than beat me down. Y'all follow what I'm saying about that? Rather than criticize everything that I'm doing, she prayed for my success in doing it. She wasn't trying to take my spot. And that's, I believe, what's happening with people today, and why we're seeing so many things happen that shouldn't be happening with women. That their bodies were made different than a man. I'll show you that. Their bodies were made different. And they weren't made to hold up the load that a man was graced to hold up. And I'm only saying, because now they're trying to work and trying to raise the kids and try. Are you following what I'm saying? And the next thing happens, bodies start breaking down, breast cancer, da la 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 la. I think a lot of things are happening because of the stress and the weight of something that they had never been called to bear. Say amen to that. And I'm saying, even when they have a man in the house, I mean, don't make a wimp out of him. Make him stand up and decide what's going to happen. Because, see, when you move into that place, you're moving under a weight. You just don't know it. But you're moving under something, and you weren't, you're delicate. You're sweet. Nah, take that. So I'm saying that's why we have to treat them as queens and treat them as delicate. The Bible says, as the weaker vessel. They're not weaker. You know they're not weaker. They can have a baby. Carry the thing around for 9 months and spit that thing out. Man, let me tell you, you got to be strong to do that. I watched it come out. I said, ooh, man, this is a smoker here. Are you following what I'm saying? They got a different part to play. You got to encourage them in that part. See, one of the major things that the man needs is respect. That's one of the major things he needs. He needs to know that he is respected and that he is of value. One of the worst things a woman can tell a man is, I don't need you. That you're going to have to do some real work to undo that one. You cannot tell him that. That thing will stick like glue. And the thing of it is, that's his worth is in trying to provide for his family. We came back one time, when we coming back here going through Minnesota, we stopped here, and then I'm going to evangelize and so forth. Now understand, I'm the one, she's taking care of the kids, I'm the one working or out there evangelizing, but no money was coming in. See, I was a wannabe. And so what happened was, she just said one time, sweetheart, you know, I think you should just get you a job or something, you know, just so forth and so on. Now, that thing gnawed at me for about 2 weeks. And then somebody else mentioned to me, said, hey, you've been looking for a job? And I said, you know, just out of spirit, I said, yeah. And they said, hey, it's something in my company, da-da-da. And took me, before I went, I believed how much money I wanted to make. I believed so forth and so on. I forgot to take taxes out of that, though. But so forth and so on, and so forth. Got the exact job in computer, so forth and so on. Now, it lasted for about, 10, 11 months. I knew I wouldn't be there long. But that time that I was there wiped out all the deficits that we had. And it gave my wife the sense of the thing that a woman seeks. It's called security. Security. Do you realize that is one reason why she likes you to hold her hand? It speaks security to her. I'm going to help you men before you get out of here. Don't think I ain't helping myself while I'm doing it. Oh, last night, I grabbed my wife and said, oh, sweetheart. I hugged her real strong. She said, you're getting ready for tomorrow, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. Yes, I am, dear heart. So I'm learning too. You know, you got to refresh yourself in this. And that's why it says be courteous to them. Courteous means, it's a contraction. It means to quarter us. You're supposed to forever be holding hands in hand. Ever be just loving your wife. Now, you ain't got to be all mushy and all that all the time. But she likes security. And she said, can you go to work? And I went to work. And let me tell you, everything again eased out in the house. The pressure came off and so forth and so on. And then at the end of that month time, they called and said, hey, can you come back here? We want you to come back and preach for us. We paid for a townhouse for a whole year for you and so forth. And just a lot of things. So it just, boom, just happened just like that. But notice, that didn't break till I got in line. See, I'm trying to do it my way. And it ain't but one way to do it. It's God's way. And God is concerned about that family first. There have been people who've been in the ministry and asked for a break from the Lord. I've read it. Asked for a break from the Lord. Lord, can I have a year sabbatical to go and get my family straight? The Lord said, take it. Boom, going out. Why? Because that family is key. I said the family with God is key. Till all families in the earth be blessed. So the man, he says, act like Jesus. And Jesus sacrificed for the body. Jesus sacrificed for his people. Say amen to that. And sacrificial love is a type of love that sometimes you have to do. You have to put your desire on the back burner and take care of your family's desire first. Say amen to that. And so you've got people today, you got to watch it, because we don't see a future many times. And when I was being raised, my mom and dad, they put together a little money and put some in savings and so forth. Why? They wanted us to go to college. But today, man, everybody spent everything they got. You can put $5 away. You can just act like you're concerned about their future. But people are selfish. Remember, that's what it, let me turn to that. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yeah, you got to watch it. And integrity is not there even today. And I was, did I tell you about that banker's meeting I was at? Did I just tell you? Yeah, I was at the banker's meeting. The guy said, you know, this is a generation that we got to find out how to really meet the needs of this generation from a banking standpoint. I said, what do you mean? He said, man, you know, today, I went to a banker's meeting for CEOs and so forth and president. And this is one who had been in banking for quite a while, years and years. And he said, people 40 years ago, you know, you had them to sign a loan agreement and you really didn't have to have them to sign it. You shook hands with them. They pay you back every dime they ever borrowed from you. He said, but today, he said, you can have them sign 10 documents. And he said, they'll look you right in your eye and borrow that money and never intend on ever paying you back. He said, that's where people are going. Let me tell you, that should never be in the church. Amen. Never be in the church. I know all these bankruptcy people are on there and so forth and so on. Watch that. You put your name on that paper. And my dad taught me, son, you don't tell a lie. If you ever tell somebody you're going to do something, you do it. And you go in that Bible, it says, you keep your word even if it hurts. That's the Bible. No, walking away from everything. Wait a minute. And the same thing has drifted over into marriages. I'm just going to walk away. Folks, in the first few years of your marriage, you need Jesus. Don't ever think you don't. You need him. Because that's where y'all getting to know one another. Boy, that's a rough ride sometimes. You got to hold on. High old silver. And I'm telling you, because this thing, because y'all got different opinions and you're coming together and so forth and so on. But just hold on. You're learning something. You're learning about God. You're learning about each other. Say amen to that. Now, where did I have you turn here? What? 2 Timothy 3. I don't really need to go to this. I got to tell you one more thing here before I let you go. Are y'all with me? Yes. Now, we're going to straighten everything up while you're on this subject. I didn't ask for this. Y'all asked for it. By popular demand, said, Pastor, would you please teach on marriage? Okay. All right. Okay. Now, so you asked for it. So just sit there and take it. See, people are all right as long as you preach and stuff. They want, oh, yeah, praise God. Yeah, that's him. Yeah, he's like that. Well, huh? But as soon as you say something about them, crucify him. Crucify him. You know, pastor ain't what he used to be. Yes, I am. Look what it says here. This, know also, that in the last days, perilous times are going to come. For men shall be lovers of who? Their own selves. Covetous. Wanting somebody else's money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Look at the next one. Truth breakers. a lie to your face, just as sure as they look at you, they just lie to you. Folks, let that not once be named among you. You need to get out of that. If you know you've been in that, say, Lord, forgive me. I'm gonna change from right now on. I got to make up this thing. Because see, we're looking for things to act right, but we're not acting right. We're looking for God's blessing on us. Well, how is he gonna bless ugly? How does he do that? Oh, Lord. All right, last thing. It's not good for man to be alone. All right. Now, single is different from unmarried. Okay? You should strive to be single. Because single means that you have been made whole. You are unique. And you are now separate. That you know who you are. Single. When Adam was single, God gave him a wife. Say amen to that. Loneliness is not a reason to marry. As a matter of fact, if you are lonely and get married, many times it magnifies your loneliness. Because this is what folks say, I was better off than this before I got married. Remember, the Babylonian society tries to get people to look down on women or men that are not married or have never been married. But you can get some of the greatest leaders that we've had, and some of them have never been married. So watch that. Well, it's because nobody wanted her. Well, now that's not true. Adam did not know he needed somebody. Why? Because he was single. God had to interrupt his schedule and bring him Eve. He was busy fulfilling the requirements that God had placed before him. Say amen to that. He was busy naming animals and dominating. And God had said, whoa, hold on. Lay down a minute, I got something for you. Some people are consumed looking for people. Why don't you be consumed with your development? Why don't you be consumed with trying to get whole? Trying to get whole. And then you'll find that maybe God will say, hey, it's time for a husband or a wife. Praise God. So success in marriage comes when you're single, when you're unique, when you're made whole, and when, many times, when you're separate. So most marriages today, each person spends years trying to change the other person, when it's you that needs to be changed. Marriage is not a 50-50 proposition. You take people and you got a person who's 50, that means that they're half whole. And another one that's 50, that means they're half whole. Now you got two halves. And they're busy pointing out mistakes on the other one's half. Adam was whole. Eve was whole. Say amen to that. Amen. So, what am I saying? Before you love other people, you got to make sure you love yourself. I'm not talking about some pride or self-centeredness now, or selfishness. I'm talking about you got to know who you are. And the first step to wholeness is accepting the person that God made you to be. Nothing is worse than counseling to self-haters. You don't go anywhere. They're busy pointing out the other one and so forth. But Matthew 22 and 39 says, love your neighbor, what? As yourself. So you got to make sure that if you're going into a relationship, you know who you are. God made you somebody. Listen, even if you hook up with nobody, you are still somebody. Folks, sometimes I go in meetings and so forth, and in environments that I go in, many times I'm the only, African-American or person of color, chocolate. I'm the only one in there. I'm the only one in there, and I go in there, and I'm going to tell you, I got to know who I am. Because just as I went in there in love with myself, I got to come out in love with myself. And if you don't know who you are, I don't care whether what background you are, how you look, or whatever have you, then the whole thing will throw you off. And the next thing, you start building up a hatred because for yourself and so forth, and it's internal. And the next thing you know, you're not whole anymore, and it's hard for you to get along with somebody because you're expecting them to make you better. And so as a result of that, when it doesn't work out like it's supposed to, we start blaming the other person. And all the, well, it's his fault, and you know, he's this and he's that. I understand that we all got some things we're trying to work through, but this blaming thing won't get it. And so forth. Let me just give you this last thing and I'll let you go. Now, men treat women and women treat men certain ways. And I told you, one of the key things for him is respect. One of the key things for her is security. So in marriage, let me give you this last scripture. This is what they used to do to people who got married. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 24, please. Glory to God. Listen, am I insulting you with this kind of teaching? Somebody's got to teach this. And I guarantee you, if you just let me put it in you, you're going to have a strength in you. If there's something missing, you're going to find you're going to be made whole through this. Say amen to that. Amen. The first thing we have to do is get a relationship with the Lord, because he's going to ask you to obey his commands. Well, if you don't have a relationship with him, how are you going to obey anything? Look what it says in verse 5. When a man has taken a new wife, that's marriage, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be what? Free at home for 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, boy, that's something right there, isn't it? Which he has taken. So, yeah, I'm gonna let you define what cheer up means. When you're not whole, you expect somebody to make up that part. And when they don't make up that part, then you feel dissatisfied. And when you feel dissatisfied, now you begin, many times people begin to gossip and judge them and criticize them and begin to put them down. And then the worse we can make them look, then the better we make ourselves look in our own eyes. What you got to do is understand you don't need to have to build yourself up by putting somebody else down. Say amen to that. So what am I saying? That a woman and men, they need to know one another. And look what they did in the Old Testament. They took 1 year off. So you get married in the Old Testament, you got 1 year with pay, and we're going to give you a time off to be with your spouse and to get to know them. Now, I don't do that, but that's what they did in the Old Testament. Give the Lord a praise. And you get married up in here, brother, you got to come to work. Are y'all getting some out of this? Okay, now listen. You say, Pastor, I did not do what you did to the kids. I did not so forth. Let me tell you about God. God is so good till he can always give you a way of making up the difference of the mistakes that we made in our past. See, the devil can't do that because he can't create anything. But God can put somebody asleep one night and put in their brain a whole new attitude, new knowledge and wisdom and understanding that they never could have had in 20 years. Say amen to that. So don't give up on God because he hasn't given up on you. All right, before you leave, if there's somebody here that needs to be born again, we want to get you born again. Now, hear what I'm saying. Because of...